It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
Michael Giles, who is a government apparatchik, no question, currently Director of Municipal Affairs at the Residential Construction Council of Ontario, but comes from the Emerald Isle. Michael, good to have you here on the Oakley Show. Good afternoon.
Good to be here, John.
All right. When I say the Emerald Isle, it was actually Belfast, Northern Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah, we don't usually use the Northern.
Okay, well, I see. Okay, there you are. Were you a Provo then?
Yeah, we don't usually use the Northern part of it.
Hey, by the way, did you see the movie Belfast? It's on Netflix right now.
I did, yeah. And, a couple of volume and I was okay afterwards.
Oh, okay. It was that unsettling, was it? Kenneth Branagh was
No, in Ireland, they'd say they tore the arse out of it, you know. Made it look worse than it was.
Oh, really? Wasn't that bad, the Troubles?
Well, no, you know, that's why we call it the Troubles. Irish are always good at an after. They never called it a war. They called it the Trouble. Didn't sound as bad.
Oh, okay. Only went on for 30 plus years. Cost countless lives.
If for nothing else, we're dedicated.
Oh, that's it. Stick-to-itiveness. The good old Irish stick-to-itiveness. Well, all right. Here we go in the context of, and I don't want to be disrespectful or diminish anyway the significance and the somber occasion, but Mulroney at a funeral, I mean, is there such a thing that we could see with an Irish influence insofar as, you know, he embraced his Irish legacy or heritage?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Brian Mulroney would love, you know, he loved all the Irish things. You know, he used to always say that, a good funeral is better than a bad wedding. You know, they used to say that. So, you know, that's why we're always so good at them, right? You know, it's like, I'm sitting on a stereotype now. Everybody I know coming after me used to say the only difference between an Irish funeral and an Irish wedding was wake was one less drunk. You know, so.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? It's that bonhomie that you guys exhibit that sort of makes it stands apart. Anyway, listen, on any particular set list, we just played the Dubliners coming in, Spancel Hill. I mean, look, it may be trite or a cliche now because it happened at Ronald Reagan's funeral, as well as I think George Herbert Walker Bush, Danny Boy, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. Would those be requisite? Would you include those?
I would, you know, and Brian Mulroney would love that stuff. He loved his Irish, you know, being Irish and everything about it, you know, and he had that, you know, I would always recognize that, you know, the Irish joy of life, but also that Irish fatalism, you know, and I think it was Daniel Senator Moynihan in the States said it, and he summed it up perfectly. I think Brian Mulroney used it a few times where he said, you know, being Irish is knowing in the end the world will always break your heart. And, you know, that was, you know, he'd sing these songs and do this stuff. It always sort of conveyed that. But he was Irish to the core. You know, there's some people run around and pretend to be Irish and, you know, they fly over there 3 months before an election and try to, you know, pull a few pints and then go back home and get the Irish vote. But he truly embraced his, you know, Irish heritage and being Irish and the things he said. And, you know, he was a real character and, you know, and he was a real leader too. You know, he did things that, he wasn't afraid to take, you know, the chances and do the things that he needed to do, which is, you know, part of being Irish as well. You know, they always do say, I came from Belfast, and I'll say the last thing you would have expected you to want to get into is politics. But, you know, it's in our blood.
Well, yeah, yes. Boy, we could go through the history chapter and verse, but we're going to talk to Melissa Lantzman, who's the Conservative MP for Thornhill, in a little bit as well, because I'm kind of curious about Mulroney's Conservative cred, small c Conservative cred, because maybe some of that isn't as apparent these days with our own political stripe. People tend to populism rather than conservatism. What's the distinction, by the way?
Well, you know, I think the distinction is you don't take these hardline positions and everything, but you take the hard, you know, positions, you make a decision and you stick with it. You know, the GST was a huge one for him, right? And, you know, who wants to pay tax like that? But at the end of the day, it was the right decision. We had a manufacturing sales tax that was 13.5%, which actually put Canadian companies at a disadvantage. He focused on it, said, that's not fair. That's not going to work in the future. And so we made the change. And, you know, he got the hell beat out of him for that. But, you know, I think the proof is in the, you know, the history. It's still there. Mm. Obviously, governments recognized that it was still there. Same with the free trade agreement. You know, same with all sorts of other stuff he did. You know, he privatized 23 of the 61 Crown corporations that were there. You know, if he hadn't had enough time, he would have done the rest of them, and maybe they would have been operating still instead of what we have now. But the point is that, you know, he didn't have to be hard line on everything, but on the things he recognized he needed to be, he did it, and he stood it, and he took all sorts of punches for it, but he never backed down when he thought it was the right decision, which is what's lacking right now, you know, among the, you know, the Birkenstead EV driving crowd. You know, it's like, that's what's lacking.
All right. Michael Giles, again, a political operative at many levels and also of Irish descent. So we're talking about Brian Mulroney in that regard as well. By the way, the Irish, they're a happy-go-lucky bunch, but also a maudlin lot. It's sort of like two polarities in one.
Oh, that's true. It's that old quote. The Irish are very fair people. They never speak well of one another. You know, it's like, and we are like that, you know, and it's like that. And I say that Monaghan quote, it sums up the Irish perfectly. It's knowing in the end, the world will always break your heart. And, you know, it's not, it's, I don't know what it is. It's a fatalism and all that kind of stuff. You know, it goes through the whole, and we're just like, you know, we're crazy. I was talking to some guy this morning, and we're talking about a guy in Canada who quit drinking, you know, for his health and everything else, and had been 3 months sober. He went home for Christmas, and, you know, the mother put a wine glass in front of him, and he said, no, I don't drink anymore. And she said, are you going to ruin Christmas? Not the true story.
I don't doubt it. I mean, it sounds like, you know, everything that you regale us with is replete with these Irish aphorisms or whatever. And these are the kinds of things. I mean, there's a rich legacy of this within the literature itself and the poetry. I mean, when the kissing of the Blarney Stone, you know, they say, I can't recall who said it in tribute yesterday, that Brian Mulroney was basically the embodiment of the Blarney Stone, but in not a disrespectful way, but there is that touch of it in most Irish folk. What's that a consequence of?
Absolutely. They always say the right thing. And you know what the truth is? You know, the Irish love funerals, right? It's like, you know, I went to so many of them when I was in Ireland. The things that came out of their mouths, you know, I remember one of them, the guy said, you know, oh, he's gone or whatever. He says, oh, sure, he wasn't the worst of them. You know, and I think that's the best you can come up with, you know?
Yeah.
And 2 minutes later, a priest comes in and says, this is my friend. And it's literally, this did happen. Came in and said, this is my friend. She's a faith healer. And one of the other guys said, you're too late. That's at a funeral.
I mean, it's too precious. This is funny.
Oh, well, yeah. They celebrate life and they understand death. And you know what? It's like, you know, there's all sorts of academic thoughts about why did this, you know, where do we come from with that? You know, the famine, there was such a, you know, a large loss of life that death became very much a part of it and fatalism and everything else. But, you know, then they moved across the world. Like people like Brian Mulroney's ancestors, you know, they spread all over. There was like 70 million. I think have some kind of direct lineage in North America, you know, and it's so that, and they get over there and, you know, they couldn't, you know, get into high societies. What did they do? They joined the police and made a fair amount of money there. And, you know, it's like, this is how we got everywhere, you know, and he came, look where he came from. You know, he put himself through school, failed the bar exam twice. You know, I mean the law exam, not failed at the bar, but failed the law exam and then became a very successful man, became the prime minister.
You're not even sure when you're making a joke that it's funny stuff.
I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that one.
Yeah, you.
And he used to drink a lot too, and he stopped. And I heard him say one where he said that he'd stopped, and when he was, I think he was president of Iron Order of Canada, and he said he'd stopped drinking, and he figured out it's incredible what you could get done in the afternoon.
Oh, jeez. I love this again with Michael Giles. By the way, then, you know, Brian Mulroney, as you say, came up the hard way from humble beginnings, never really lost that touch. He was really a man of the people, would you say?
Absolutely, he was. You know, and this is a true story, too. When I was in Ottawa, you know, they have a couple of little cafeterias on Capitol Hill in the center block, and you go and get a coffee in the morning and stuff like that. And so when I was there at the Paul Martin time, and I get to know the people behind the counter, and I went in. And one morning I said to them, you know, because prime ministers would, you know, drop by and get coffee in those days, not anymore, you know, I mean, they're too busy washing their hair and stuff. But they would go by to get a coffee in the morning, and I said, you know, of all the big shots that have ever came in here, who's the one you like the most? And said, every one of them, four of them said, Brian Mulroney. I said, why? Because he was nice to us. It didn't make a difference if he was talking to the President of the United States or us. You could tell he was actually listening and he was interested. And I've heard many, many stories like that where he did stuff like that, where he was always there. We had a mutual friend, guy Elaine Gourd, who was clerk of the Privy, deputy clerk of the Privy Council. He died and Mulroney called me. Then where's his funeral? And he heard he wanted to call his wife and everything else. And, you know, that's what he was. He just had that ability to be, you know, he was just a decent man when it came to individuals. And, you know, the story could go on forever. How Marcel Prud'homme, who was a Liberal, who was a Liberal MP, and they kicked, you know, the Liberals kicked him out and didn't give him the nomination in Montreal. And he went to school with Mulroney. He stormed in there and said, you better make me a senator before you leave, because, you know, Mulroney was quitting. And he told us in Ottawa for 45 minutes before Mulroney left, he called him and he said he signed and, you know, used an expletive and hung up on him, but he put him into the Senate on the way out the door.
Really?
Yeah, Marcel Prud'homme.
Wow. Great stories. By the way, you know, and that rich baritone that he had lent itself to singing when Irish eyes are smiling. And so at Reagan's, I guess it was the Shamrock Conference in 1985. That was, something that, you know, obviously ingratiated him to Reagan with his own Irish heritage and everything. By the way, is it almost some kind of immutable cosmic law that if you're Irish, you got to be able to sing?
Well, it's an immutable law that you sing, and I wouldn't say you're able to sing, because some of them, you know, I crack windows and you hear and listen. They're the ones that they think they're good. You know, it's like have a few drinks and it's off they go. That's why they always say in Ireland, if you come into a bar, if you've gone in there to drink to forget, please pay in advance. You know?
Right. You're right. I remember now where two Irish guys were talking at the bar, you know, after, you know, there was, I guess, a karaoke night. And the one guy says, what did you do with the money? He says, what money? The money your mother gave you for the singing lessons.
Yeah, and it's limitless. You know, I think it was Brian Mulroney once told a joke where they said the Irish guy ran into a bar and said, you know, quick, give me a drink or whatever. And, you know, he keeps, you know, by 10 drinks later, he's knocking them back. And he goes, I've never seen anybody drink so fast. He goes, why are you drinking so fast? He goes, you'd drink fast if you have what I have. And he goes, what do you have? He goes, 25 cents.
Oh, God, this is too good. But there you have it. You know, I mean, and this is something, I don't know, if Awake would include this kind of, let's say, direction in, you know, in, as a memorial or in commemoration, it wouldn't necessarily need to be a somber affair, would it?
No, and they're not. You know, I was 9 years old when I went to my first wake. And it was my great uncle, and we went in. He was in the coffin in the living room in the house, you know, and all the men were there drinking and stuff like that. It was usually just the men in those days, you know. And I walked in. I remember I was like astonished. Here he is lying in this coffin right there. And one of them says, you better give Peter a drink. He looks a bit pale. I was like, what the hell are these saying?
Right. I love it.
Yeah, there is something to it. And again, and I don't say this like, you know, lightly, but he had it. You know, he had that Irish thing to him. You know, he was so fast with the lines, you know. I heard a great story where he was going to South Africa and they landed in, I think it was Uganda at the time, for like a 4-hour visit. And the president of Uganda's name was Joseph Banana. And so the word went back through the plane that the media better not do anything that's going to embarrass the government because of the president's last name. So don't say a word. So Mulroney got out, did his thing, got back on the plane. They lifted off. They're going to South Africa. And Mulroney came back to the back of the plane. And one of the reporters says, how was your meeting with the president? And he said, very fruitful.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because this isn't really the kind of fodder that we've been reading in the op-ed pages today. So I appreciate your sharing them with us, Michael.
And that's the thing. You know, you can, you know, you look at what a man. Yeah, he accomplished a lot. And I think one of the reasons why he is sort of a generational and seismic influencer in terms of being prime minister is because he had that Irish in him. You know, they make a decision. You don't back down. You know, you fight through to the end, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he had that. You know, he had that. But I mean, look at what we have now. You know, it's like none of these people can make a decision that their life depended on. He made them all the time.
Well, and they were big, big ticket items for sure. We're going to talk about that now going forward. Melissa Lantzman's going to join us, the Conservative MP for Thornhill. But Michael, really appreciate your insights into the Irish side of Brian Mulroney and the culture in general. Really very much fun this afternoon on a Friday. Thank you for it.
Great. Thanks very much, John.
Listen to the John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.